This KJZZ podcast is supported by SunUp Brewing Company. Tastefully created in Central Phoenix, SunUp Brewing Company cans available in grocery stores throughout Arizona. Info at sunup.beer.
This is KJZZ SunUp. It's your daily news update for Metro Phoenix and across the region. Good morning. I'm Phil Latzman. This podcast is a packet of information to give you an update of what's happening here at home. It's a great way to stay informed, and there is a lot going on this Monday, June 1st. Let's kick it off. Last night's demonstrations may have seen the largest crowds yet, but after Governor Doug Ducey's curfew order went into effect yesterday, those protesters ended most activities earlier than they had on Friday and Saturday, which saw violence in both Phoenix and Scottsdale. KJZZ's Scott Bork spent a third evening in a row with the demonstrators and sent this report.
Sunday's demonstrations started a little earlier than previous nights, with people congregating downtown around 6 p.m. For most of the night, it remained peaceful, with activists giving speeches to the crowd of hundreds, if not thousands, of demonstrators. 15 minutes before the 8 p.m. curfew, the crowd began marching. Phoenix police officers in riot gear managed to keep the crowd contained downtown. By around 8:30, it seemed like the crowds had mostly thinned out. There were a handful of resistors who faced tear gas near 7th Street and Roosevelt, and by 10 p.m., officers were arresting anybody who remained in the area. Scott Bork, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the governor did issue a statewide curfew for 1 week on Sunday following the looting and incidents in Phoenix and Scottsdale over the weekend primarily. He says the emergency declaration came at the request of local leaders, but so far his office is not saying who exactly requested the curfew. And as KJZZ's Christina Estes reports, the mayors of two of Arizona's largest cities say they learned about it through the governor's tweet.
A spokesperson for Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego says her office has not spoken to or heard from Governor Ducey about a curfew or any other topic in a number of months. A spokesperson for Tucson Mayor Regina Romero tells KJZZ, they were not contacted prior to the issuance or afterwards and did not request it. And a spokesperson for Scottsdale says the city did not ask for the curfew, but will support and enforce the governor's order. At least one police department says it will not enforce the curfew. In a Facebook post, Holbrook Police says the city, located in eastern Arizona, hasn't seen riots and enforcing a curfew would have a negative effect on its citizens. Christina Estes, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Police arrested 12 suspects in Saturday night's looting at Scottsdale Fashion Square. In a news conference yesterday, the city's mayor, Jim Lane, says he stands with Americans in seeking justice for George Floyd and denounced those who, quote, are twisting a legitimate desire for justice into mindless and purposeless destruction. To that end, Scottsdale Police Chief Alan Robdale says they'll arrest those who participated in millions of dollars worth of destruction at the mall and investigate the melee's organizers on Twitter.
Our initial assessment when we received this tweet was about 53 people were involved in the chat. So we were anticipating about 53 people showing up. That's what our initial assessment was when we saw that first meeting.
Far more turned out, he said, with the intent to destroy and steal property. City administrators say they will meet future threats with coordinated and increased law enforcement to prevent further damage in Scottsdale. The Trump administration's biggest border project has undoubtedly been the building of hundreds of miles of new border wall. But its chief security agency, the Border Patrol, is also quietly looking into new, smaller technologies. From the Fronteras desk in Tucson, KJZZ's Michel Morisco has that story.
Acting CBP Commissioner Mark Morgan said on Twitter that the deployment of CBP agents came at the request of federal and local law enforcement, quote, confronting the lawless actions of rioters. Morgan gave no specifics about which cities border agents would be deployed to or whether they would be engaging in immigration checks during the deployments. The deployment also signals a major shift at the border. Legal traffic has been reduced to only essential travel here, and illegal crossings are at a historic low. But at the same time, CBP has been understaffed for several years, especially in Arizona. Michel Marisco, KJZZ News, Tucson.
Meanwhile, a Phoenix-based public interest group has joined a chorus of people worldwide denouncing the alleged killing of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police. KJZZ's Tom Maxedon has their story.
Black Mothers Forum is a Valley group that works to help keep black children in classrooms. Deborah Colbert is its interim director. She says witnessing George Floyd's death in real time calls into question what it will take to recognize the value of a black life as equal to a white one.
The George Floyd situation in the midst of a pandemic has shown us how critical it is to address not just the culture of the police, but our culture in America.
Colbert says she supports continued peaceful protests and keeping the pain she feels as a black mother in check. Tom Maxedon, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In other news this morning, researchers at ASU's Biodesign Institute say they've developed a cheaper, faster, and less uncomfortable way to test for the coronavirus. KJZZ's Scott Bork reports.
If the Biodesign Institute's saliva test is able to be mass-produced, it could help test large groups of people quickly, cheaply, and without the unpleasant nasal swab. In this test, users spit into a tube, so there's no need for a nurse to collect the sample, which saves time, money, and protective equipment. Josh LeBaire told Arizona Horizon this would be useful for testing large groups, like everyone in a workplace. All it would require is refrigeration.
You could almost imagine passing out these tubes to people at their desks. They could collect it in their own offices and then just bring it to a collection site where they're kept. We want to keep it cold.
Results typically take about 24 hours to process, but LeBaire says the tests are 100% accurate if there are any viral particles found in the saliva sample. Scott Bork, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
On Friday, a judge ruled that state health officials do not have to publicly reveal the number of coronavirus cases and deaths among residents living in long-term care facilities. But as KJZZ's Kathy Ritchie tells us, the fight for transparency is not over.
AARP of Arizona State Director Dana Marie Kennedy says she's disappointed in the ruling, but vows to continue fighting for residents in long-term care. And that pledge extends to staff at these facilities.
It's still not clear, nor have they made it clear, that if there is an outbreak or a person has tested positive with COVID in a facility, that they share that information with the staff. Now, let's keep in mind that staff also have families and live in the community.
KJZZ has asked the Arizona Department of Health if facilities are obligated to tell staff if there's a confirmed case of coronavirus. It has yet to respond. Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Chandler is hoping to give some relief to businesses struggling during the pandemic, as the city has extended deadlines and waived fees for liquor license renewals. KJZZ's Rocio Hernandez has details on that.
The city council voted Thursday to pass an emergency declaration that offers Chandler businesses a 50% discount on fees for liquor license renewals. These fees range anywhere from $300 to $1,000, depending on the type of license. Revenue and tax manager Danielle Wells says the council also pushed June renewal deadlines back to September to give businesses more time to recover.
We just want to help ease the burden as best we can, and we're hoping that the extension of the due date as they open and start working and operating, that this will give them a little bit of relief.
In addition, no penalties will be issued for late payments under the emergency declaration. Rocio Hernandez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And lastly on this Monday, Arizona leads the nation in leafy greens production during the winter months, contributing approximately $2 billion to Arizona's economy annually. But after several E. coli outbreaks last fall, the industry was decimated. Now, as KJZZ's Heather Van Blocklund reports, the FDA says it knows what happened.
40 people in 16 states, including two in Arizona, were infected with E. coli last fall, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A just-released report from the Food and Drug Administration says runoff from nearby cattle is responsible for tainting lettuce farms. Scott Horsfall is CEO of California Leafy Greens Marketing Agreement and says much of what is in the FDA's report is already widely known among growers.
What they didn't find was any sort of a definitive link between any pathogens that they found on pasture land and the outbreaks that took place. So we're still trying to figure out exactly how these things might have happened. But there are clues, and there is information that we will definitely make use of.
Horsfall says industry standards are already stricter than the FDA's. Heather Van Blocklund, KJZZ News.
And we can all take a deep breath on this very busy and consequential Monday, June the 1st. I'm Phil Latsman. Stay safe and healthy. Have a great day. We'll do it again tomorrow.